surrender. Amen. Total praise. Total praise, total surrender. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for willing vessels.
Amen.
We were saying that this morning in Sunday school, you ought to come to church ready to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You ought to walk through the door hoping that they ask you to sing. I wish I could sing. God knew what he was doing. I'd probably run all around the church singing. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. 1725 in the Pew Bibles. How about that? Page 1725 in the Pew Bibles. Revelation, last book of the Bible. The last book of the Bible. Amen. We're going to look at chapter 2. We're going to talk about the seven letters from the island of Patmos. Seven churches. We're going to talk about one of them today. We're going to talk about one each week for the next 7 weeks. The Patmos series. Amen. Let's all stand as we read God's precious and holy word, which is able to save your soul.
Yes.
Which is able to deliver you from darkness into his marvelous light. Able to break strongholds in your lives. His power in God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. Amen. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things say he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Father God, we ask right now that you would just use the word of God to prepare us to go to paradise. Father God, we want to be with you. Wherever you are, we want to be with you. Father God, we pray right now that you would just minister to the souls in this house, that we would leave here, Father God, better prepared for the day that we're going to meet you and look at you face to face. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The revelation of Saint John the Divine. The revelation of Saint John the Divine. We're going to talk about the churches. I said when I took over as pastor that we're going to spend the first year talking about the churches. The church, being saved, and salvation. Because it's just my experience that a lot of folks don't know if they're really saved or not. And I think that's a great responsibility for the pastor. That you know what you know. That you know what you know. We're going to look at these seven churches. And there were seven, the seven churches were sort of like a circle. And all these churches were located in Asia. These were the great churches. And the first one that we look at is Ephesus. The church of Ephesus. Which was called the loveless church, as you see here. Next week, hopefully, if God doesn't shake me, we're going to look at the church of Smyrna. Mm-hmm. Which was a persecuted church. Then they have the church of Pergamos, which was called the compromising church. And a lot of people say, well, you know, Revelation is future. The Revelation is right now.
Yes.
Okay, these churches, what's going on in these churches is going on right now.
Amen.
Okay? What's going on in the church of Ephesus is going on right now. Mm-hmm. Then you have the corrupt church. The corrupt church. We got some corrupt churches?
Amen.
Church of Thyatira. Corrupt church. Then you have the dead church.
Amen.
You don't see many churches called Sardis Baptist Church. Okay? See, we don't name our children Judas. Anybody know any Judas? Anybody got a child named Judas? Mm-mm. He messed that name up. That used to be a popular name. Judas messed it up. The church of Sardis was called the dead church. Then you had the faithful church, Church of Philadelphia, brotherly love. And then you had the church of Laodicea. How many know what that church stood for? You want to just spew it out of your mouth. It was running hot, running cold. It was called the lukewarm church.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know some lukewarm saints? You don't know how they're running. Hot or cold. I had a car like that. You didn't know when it was going to overheat. So you never took it real far.
No, you
didn't. You know? So every time you parked it, it was... You hear this...
Yeah.
You hear that antifreeze? You got a little green drip under there. Some folks got a green drip. Anybody got a green drip? It's running hot. Unto the church of Ephesus. Ephesus was a great city. One of the greatest cities ever. It had the Temple of Diana, which was a huge temple. We talked about Diana. It was two football fields long. It probably was the equivalent of a city block of Las Vegas. And what happened in Ephesus stayed in Ephesus. Business people flocked to Ephesus because it was a party place. They had the temple of Diana there. She was a fertility goddess. And it was a house of just prostitution. Male prostitutes, women, female prostitutes. It was a party place and people would travel there constantly because it was a seaport town. Sort of like Louisiana or New Orleans, rather than San Francisco. So it had all types of people come in. It was a rich, rich city. But it was a godless, godless city. If you read Acts 17, 18, 19, you will get familiar with Ephesus. A port city. And Paul. Only Paul would go there and plant a church. In the most godless place ever, Paul went and planted a church. And it prospered. It prospered for 40 years. And Jesus has some really, really wonderful things to say about this church. Because God is always looking for something good to say about his church. God is looking for something good to say about this church. He wants to bless this church. He wants to say something. He wants us to do good things.
Yes. Amen.
So he can say, well done, Christian Bible Baptist Church. Amen. That's that familiar sneeze that wakes me up in the middle of the night as allergy season comes. Amen. Let's look at chapter 2 of Revelation, because it's fascinating. I can stay on this a long time, I know, because there's so much information and so much. God is speaking so much. It's all red in your pew Bibles, and if you have a King James Bible, this is all red. So this is Jesus talking. Okay? This is Jesus talking. And John MacArthur say, just read it and explain it. That's good preaching. Okay? Read it and explain it. That's good preaching. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. And that angel is the pastor. It's good to be called an angel once in a while. It calls some stuff. You know? Called an angel. Not a fallen angel. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. And what's an angel's job? An angel is a what? A messenger. That's all God's man is a messenger. He gets up, stands, and heralds the word of God. He delivers a message. He delivers a message from God. And the only way you can deliver a message from God is have God's word in front of you. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things say he, Jesus Christ, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. The stars are the churches. Okay? And he's holding them. He's holding them presently. That word is in the present tense. He's holding right now. He's holding right now. He says he holds the seven stars in his right hand. Right hand stands for power. You're not taking anything out of God's hands. He says that about us. For those in here that may believe you can lose your salvation. Jesus said, no man can what? Pluck them out of my hand. Because that hand means, like Reverend said, authority. It means power and authority. So God is holding this church. We may think we're doing something. We may think we're doing something. We singing, we doing something. We're not doing anything. God is in control.
Amen.
God is in control. When God is out of control, it ain't God's church. If it ain't God's church, if it's not God's church, you could be doing a lot of things. I think this church fell, it slid that way. It says, to the seven stars in his right hand who walketh in the midst of the golden candlestick. God is walking in here right now. He's in here right now, walking through here. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in everyone's life that's in here. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're going to do when you leave here. He knows what you did last night. Okay? He knows how you were when you walked through the door. He knows if you were prepared to worship him. He knows. See, when it says, and he walking through the midst of the golden candlestick, meaning he's omniscient. Not only that, he's omnipresent. He knows everything. He's all knowing. But it says he walked in the midst. He's among us. His presence is among us. We ought to be able to feel his presence. He came in here with us. Those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we walked in, God walked in.
Amen.
He came in with us. Somebody came in with you. Somebody came in with you. Either you came in here with the Holy Spirit or the other spirit. But you came in here with a spirit. He said he walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Seven is a number of what? Completion. It's also a number of perfection. God calls his church. He said we ought to be perfect. We ought to strive to want to be perfect in everything we do. We ought to want to have a perfect worship service.
Yes.
The choir ought to want to practice and rehearse to sing the songs perfectly.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Paul said we ought to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. We ought to press toward that. We ought to want to be perfect husbands. We ought to want to be perfect wives. We ought to want to be perfect children. We ought to. The word of God said, honor your mother and father. We ought to want to be honorable. If God is in the midst, he knows your thoughts. How you young people, how you doing? Are you honoring your mother and father? Or they gotta wrestle with you? Or they gotta fight with you to do any little thing? God knows. God knows. And you're gonna need them one day. And the blind man in John 9:9 had it right. He said, you know, the Lord don't hear no sinner. The only prayer God hears of a sinner is a sinner's prayer. Save me. He said he walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now these aren't golden candlesticks like wax. These are lampstands. You need to put oil in them. For them to shine, you need oil in them. They're symbolic of us. If we're going to shine, if we're going to be the light of the world, we need oil. The Holy Spirit represents oil. We need the Holy Spirit to shine. Some of us aren't shining. Some of us don't want to shine. Some of us don't want to shine. Some of us want to live in darkness. But he calls them golden candlesticks. Represent, these are his. Gold is symbolic of purity. It's the purest metal there is. We ought to be golden candlesticks. When we look at the church ought to be so different. I think this is what he's saying. The church ought to be so different than the world. Because the world is symbolic of clay. And what would you rather have someone give you? Something made of gold or something made of clay? Most of us want gold. Many of us in here have on some gold. It's valuable to us. If we lose our necklace or our rings that's made of gold, we're going to look for them. But if we buy a pair of dollar sunglasses at Payless and we sit on them and break them, we're really not hurt. We get some of them gold ones. Listen, he talked about this church because this was a good church. Don't get me wrong, this wasn't a bad church. Ephesus wasn't a bad church. It was a good church. Because Jesus said, I know your works.
Yes.
And that's the title of the sermon. I know that works. Okay. Amen. To get that in there. All right, Dave, you got that. I know thy works. Listen, God said, I know thy works. That again is a picture of him being omnipresent. He knows the church. He knows all of us in here. He knows what we're capable of doing, what we're not capable of doing. And he knows what we're doing and what we're not doing. Somebody said, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about us. We sang that today. He knows all about us. He knows their works. Listen, he said, I know thy work. What work? We talk about it in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Say your work of faith. Faith works. When God saves you, that faith works. Faith without works is nothing. So this was a working church. They knew how to work. This is a working church. This church knows how to work. It knows how to work. And most churches do. And it says, he said, not only I know thy works, he said, I know thy labor. And this is that labor of love. That labor of love, that's that tough love. Some folks are hard to love. Some people are hard to love. Some children are hard to love. Just difficult. Some situations, some co-workers. We got co-workers and we got people that we run into on a daily basis that are hard to love. Some folks that just know everything. Hard to deal with. Can't tell them nothing. That's hard. Because you know they're going to find out the hard way. But then he said, not only I know your works, and they said, I know thy labor. He says, and I know thy patience. That patience, that endurance, that self-preservation, just hanging in there. This church had to not only have the ability to work and labor, but they had the ability to hang in there. Some of us need that patience, just to hang in there. Things are going to get better.
Amen.
And some folks, like when we talked about Paul a couple weeks ago, Paul said, if you only stay on the ship, you just stay in the ship. If you get out of the ship, you're going to die. But he said, stay in the ship. It's going to get rough.
All right.
So we have too many ministries saying that ministry is wonderful and blessed and everything's going to go right. And that's not true. That's not true. So Jesus Christ here is saying, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. So it's a patient church. Who were they patient with? They was patient with people. Why? Because it says so. He said, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Some evil folk come through these doors. Okay? We don't always know. But there's some evil folk come through the doors. We run into folks that are evil. We live in an evil world. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper. I was just reading the newspaper. The boy over, I believe, in the Newcastle area, he two drunk drivers killed two people on the same street. Within 5 miles from each other, he killed two people while drinking. Who get in the car with a guy? Somebody help me. Who gets in a car with a guy who's drunk? Who has killed somebody 2 years earlier while being drunk? Who gets in the car with him when you know he's drinking? Huh? He says, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. We are not bearing folks with evil. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that we ought to flee the very appearance of evil. We're not supposed to sit under evil.
All right.
We hear it come out of folks' mouths.
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you hear someone and you listen to them and they're cussing and talking violence and hatred and it's spewing out of their mouths, that's evil. I had my one buddy that comes to church with us, the guy that's the Iron Man. He was at his church in Poland and they brought in a guest speaker. And the guest speaker started cussing while he was preaching. Dropped a couple. And many of y'all that know that, he just stood up and rebuked him. Picked his family up and left. Just picked his family up and left. What would we do? Man of God come here and say on man's day, hypothetically speaking, gets up and start cussing. What are we going to do? That's not going to happen, I know, but it's happening all over the world. It's called grudge preaching. And these preachers are so bent on reaching these thugs that they cussing in their services. Many of us have heard it. I know there's some folks in this town that cuss while they preach. And some folks think it's cute. Some folks think it's jazzy. Oh, he's cool. The Bible said, let no evil communication come out of your mouth. Anybody here got a foul mouth? God's got a word for you. Anybody in here struggling with cussing? Listen to what this church did. Here's God's commending this church. He says, and thou hast tried them. That word tried means tested. God has tried them. Not God, but thou hast tried them. See, we live in a day and age where we don't want to judge nothing. We got Matthew 7:1 all down pat. Judge not. Judge not. Lest you also be judged. You can't judge me. You know, you ain't supposed to judge. Take the beam out of your eye. And the true man or woman of God don't have a problem being judged. I don't have a problem being judged. I implore you to take notes. Check it out. Paul said that about the Berean church. Acts 17:11. He said they were more noble than the Thessalonians, but they took notes. Came back with some questions. Bible says, test the spirits by the spirits. Why did they test them? We talk about this a lot, those that come on Wednesday. Look at 2 Corinthians, real quick. 2 Corinthians 11. This is a scripture for those who don't come out on Wednesday nights. This is one you need to have. This ought to be highlighted, but don't highlight it in the pew Bible. You have your own Bible. Highlight this. Second Corinthians 11. 11:13. This is what they did. They was a testing church. Okay? A true church is not going to let anybody just come into their pulpit. The pastor's job, the angel of the church job is to protect the pulpit. If I had to preach 52 weeks out of a year. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:13. Some of us don't even know this is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into what? The apostles of Christ. Transforming themselves. Don't tell me the devil don't have power. The devil has power to transform himself into something beautiful, and something wonderful, into something wonderful. He transformed himself into an angel of light. This letter was written to the angel of the church. And the angel of the true church ought to be an angel of light, because light represents truth. But here's a false apostle who has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light. You run into somebody like that. You young people in here dating, you run into one of these false apostles and make him your boyfriend. He can be nice and cute and wonderful for a little while. Same thing with the girls. You run into one of the young girls and they can be an angel of light for a little while. This is what it says. And marvel and no marvel. Why? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What is that saying? You got some folk. Pastors. Preaching right now. Transformers. Some of you young people watch the movie Transformers. That thing be just a car turned into a person. Some preachers can turn into whatever they have to be. Somebody said trickery. Some people say witchcraft. I don't know what it is, but God here says in his word, he said, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness. I mean, they're going to preach the right stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Don't go to sleep on them. Whose end shall be according to their works. Listen. This was a tested church. This was a judgmental church. They judged things. They tested things. We have positions that we stand on here. This church here would be hard to join in with another church. There's certain things that we believe. There's certain things that we believe we're going to stand on. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost this church. Because this church said we're not going to have no women preachers in this pulpit. And we don't say it because we believe that. We say it because the Bible teaches that.
All right.
Is that what I believe or what this church believes? What's in the Constitution? Reverend Shales didn't make that up.
All right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. And the founder of this church do it on the Word of God.
Amen.
But there ain't but about three churches in Youngstown without women preachers. It's not going to be popular when you make stands. Young people, when you make stands, you're not going to be popular. When you say, I'm not going to smoke, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to have no babies before I get married, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Are you ready? All faith will be tested. You say you have faith? Don't say it loud if you don't want to test it. Because Satan going to test your faith. You say you're walking with the Lord, Satan going to test you. He going to call you out. He going to challenge you. He going to confront you. Every day. Every day. This is what he says. They tested these false apostles. Listen, they tested them and found them to be liars. They only could test them with the Word of God. They tested them with the Word of God. Folks, listen. Test everything. that's the Bible. Listen. I don't like to just throw out scriptures because people think, well, he's just saying that. Listen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. You can write these down. I'm just going to read it. 21. This is what it says. I'm going to start at 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ought to give thanks for everything. Every situation. You ought to find something thankful for it. Oh, you know, I did a funeral. Listen, you did a funeral this week. You ought to be thankful that you are saddened by it. You ought to be thankful that God gave you that person to spend all the years you did with them. Be thankful that you have good memories of your loved one. Listen to what else he said in verse 19. He said, quench not the spirit. How do we quench the spirit? Denying the truth of God. Blasphemy. You know what the number one way to blaspheme God is? To say you're a Christian and live like a fool? Blasphemy ain't just, you took the Lord's name in vain. No, you took the Lord's name in vain when you say you're a Christian and you live like a heathen. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Oh, you say you know the Lord? And the devil say, well, just watch her. Watch him. And you a blasphemer. Because you acting just like the world. Despise not prophesying. Despise not preaching. That's verse 20. But listen to verse 21. We talk about prove all things. That word prove means try all things. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Well, if you're testing something and you're holding fast to that which is good, what you doing with that which is bad? Toss it away. Toss it away. But you ought to prove all things. Test all things. Test the spirit by the spirit. Listen to what it says in verse 22. And abstain. Stay away from. Stay away from. This is something for you to take to college. Take back to Kent State with you. Take this to Cleveland State with you. Abstain from all appearances of evil. You ain't gonna know what evil look like if you don't know the Lord. You keep hanging around the Lord, you will know what evil look like right away. Something wrong over there. I need to turn right instead of turning left. I was down in YSU last year at a football game. Kenny and I and Reverend Jones went. They was fighting after the game. They just fight. And the fight was over here, and we walking, me and Ray walking away from it, and here come a group of young people walking to it. Girl, 13, 14 years old, walking to the fire. I said, where you going? I knew we were from church. Where you going? Oh, I ain't going nowhere. Then I seen her 2 weeks ago. She pregnant, 15. I don't know. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Listen, it says, verse number 3, thou hast borne. That's carried that thing. And he says, and thou hast patience. That means he's mentioned patience twice. That means you endured this thing. You've hung on to this thing. This is God complimenting this church. This is a good church. And he says, and for my name's sake, that's what you did. You were born and you've been patient with it. You want to live for the Lord, it's going to cost you something. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. And this is why folks are leaving Christianity alone. Because it's costly. It costs God everything. Being saved costs. It's free, but it costs. It costs. And we don't like that. He said, you have been patient. You have borne all these problems. You've borne all these things. Why? For my name's sake. And then he said, not only that, thou hast labored. He mentioned labor again. Thou hast labored and has not fainted. You know, folks, it's fainting in church. Folks, it's fainting in church. Can't stay woke. Another sign that the story says, for a preacher, pastor, you put them to sleep, you wake them up. That's not what the scripture is saying. They have fainted under the pressure of being a child of God. Uh-huh. And they have quit. They have quit. They have walked away. They have walked away. That's what he says in verse 4. Nevertheless, God gives you, he compliments them in all these situations. But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast what? Left thy first love. Anybody ever been in love? I'll tell you about me and my wife. We was in love. Talked to her all night. Couldn't wait to marry her. Couldn't wait to marry her. Some folks, y'all get married too soon. Maybe we are. Some folks get married too late. Some folks, they spirit everything, get married. We've been on 5 cruises together. We've been, all over the world together. We've done everything married people do. Now we're going to get married. Ain't nothing wrong getting married. I love marriage. I love my wife. I think I love her more now than I ever did. 28 years. And she's been through some stuff. She has borne, she has had patience, she has labored, and she has not fainted. Amen. Amen. There's a plug for marriage. I'm going to say, I'm too young to get married. Really? Ask Joseph and Mary. I love talking about marriage. But what he's saying here, and the reason I mentioned that, I have somewhat against it because thou hast left thy first love. That word left means you just walked out. Anybody ever been walked out on? No, don't have to answer that. I'll just threw that out there. Somebody said 3 times. Lionel Richie song don't that don't that's that 3 child you talking about that. Listen. These folks had left their first love. They had abandoned it. They had walked away from all that God had done. And you know when you walk away from God, you walking right into the arms of the enemy. He says, I'm going to show you how to get back. There's some folks here in this church may have walked away. May have moved a little bit. God's going to show you how to get back. And I'm going to close. He said, first thing you need to do is remember. He said, remember. First thing you do is remember. Sometimes we can focus on the wrong stuff. And God is saying, you want to come back to me. Remember what I've done for you. The memories are wonderful. Yeah. You want to? You got a problem with your wife or your loved one? Just remember.
Yeah.
Young people, you got a problem with your parents? Just remember when you were just little, and he took care of you and guided you and directed you, and you growing and growing and growing, and he's there or she's there. Remember that when you feel like you want to snap at your parents. Remember that when you want to snap at your wife or your loved one. Remember. God is saying, remember therefore where thou hast fallen. Because when you walk away from God, you have fallen. You have fallen. He said, that you have not only remember, then he says, repent. And that word repent means, it not only means a 180 turn, but it means to change your mind about things. You need God to do that. Say, Lord, give me the ability to repent. Repentance is a miraculous thing. You can't repent on your own strength. You need the power of God to repent. You need the power of God to turn from some stuff. To walk away from some things. You need God to say, God, give me the power to repent. And change my evil ways. To change my way of thinking. To change my way of talking or walking. Give me this new attitude. I feel a certain way. Some folks have a right to be upset with churches. Some folks have a right to be upset with pastors. But God is saying you need to repent. And he says not only repent, but repeat. He said, do thy first works. Remember the excitement and the energy you had when you first got saved. I'm going to tell it. Me and my wife was going through. And when God saved me, I was at a funeral. Didn't know the man. It was my buddy's father had passed. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the funeral. That's what you do. I just decided to go. I said, I'm going to go to this funeral. I'm living like a fool. Living like a fool. Don't want to be married. Don't want to be married. Just want to act a fool. Eat, drink, and be married. So I go to this man's funeral. And it's crowded. And unsaved folk like crowded churches. Unsaved folk don't like this kind of church. It's too personal. Unsaved folk like mega churches. I'm going to Victory. Sit up in the balcony, 9 rows back. They won't even know when I'm gone. And they sure ain't going to ask me to come do no men's day. I'll be gone long before that. So I'm hiding out at this funeral way up in the back. And this man was a man of God. A deacon. He was a deacon, a man of God. And didn't know nothing about it. And they went in there and the preacher just lifted him up. He was the first one at the church, the last one to leave. He was the greatest, great man. Taught the Bible. Bible student. Loved his wife. Look at all his grandchildren, little kids. I mean, the church, and they was having a celebration. Mm-hmm. Pastor Merrill's church up in New Jerusalem, up in Warren, just partying up in there. They just celebrate this man's death. And then it just got quiet. He started preaching. I said, oh, it's time to go. But I couldn't leave. You know, you most folks leave with a funeral and the preaching starts. Unsaved folks start scrambling for the door. But God held me there. And he preached that man. He preached him. He said, this man is a wonderful man. And then he stopped. He just stopped. Look at that. Everybody just left the church with me. I said, where'd everybody go? And that man looked at his one finger and said, what kind of man are you? I said, man, who are you talking to? And I was convicted. And I called my wife on the way home and said, we got to work this out.
Amen.
We got to work this out. We got to work this out. That's repentance. That's repentance. We have to work this thing out. And my wife had fasted and prayed for me to come to my right mind. She was about 100 pounds. 40-day fasts and everything. I said, you look like a stick. But she was a praying woman. Thank God for a praying woman. See, some of us, we just want to kick them right out the door. And I thank God for that preacher that was able to preach with that kind of conviction. And it taught me a lot about it. But I say this to say, we need to repent. And he says, and do the first works. And I say all that to remember how God saved me and how excited I was. I wanted to talk about Jesus. I signed up to go to Bible college. I was excited about studying God's word. I was going to services. I looked in the paper and somebody having a church anniversary. I would just go. Because I wanted to just be up under the word. I wanted to hear the word. Listen to it on the radio, MP3s, and studying all the time. Do you remember having that? When you got saved, when God saved, if you're saved. If you're saved, do you have those type of memories if you're saved? Because if you don't love the Lord more today than you did when you first got saved, you may be backslidden. Do you love Him today as much as you loved Him when you first got saved? That's my cry. If you're saved. Now, if you've never been saved, you need to be saved. This is your day. If you've been faking it, just going to church because mama dragging you to church or daddy dragging you to church, you need to ask God, give me what you gave pastor all them years ago. Give me that. There's nothing like being saved. There's nothing compared to being saved. There's nothing compared to being saved. Nothing. There's no joy. I can honestly say that. I love being saved. I love knowing that I've been redeemed. I love knowing that I've been justified. I love knowing that if I die today, if I die today, I'll be in heaven. I will be in heaven. That's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
You ought not leave this building today without crying out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I need a Savior. Listen, as I close, I'm not even going to cover. I'm going to stop at 5. He says, remember, repent, and do the first works.
Yes.
I'm going to stop right there. Have you done the first works? Have you done the first works? Because if you haven't done the first works, you don't have nothing to remember.
Amen.
You're just going through the motions. You're just playing with the Lord. If you haven't done the first works, are you saved? We're having a baptismal service June, first Sunday in June. Have you been baptized? And when you were baptized, did you know what you was doing? Did you know the Savior? Did you know Him as your Lord? Did you commit your life to Him? Did you say, I'm going to live for you? That's what being baptized means. So if you've been baptized without knowing what it means, and if you're living outside of God's will, then you were baptized for the wrong reason. Now, I'm not saying you ought to be baptized again. I'm not saying that. But you need to do the first works. You need to say, I need to rededicate my life and my soul and my spirit to the Lord because I don't live like I know you. I don't talk like I know you. When I'm out of your sight, I'm a totally different person. Do you know Him? Do you know Him today? Have you truly been saved? That's a million-dollar question. Do you know Him as your Lord? When you have to make a decision, do you call on the Lord? Have you ever known that kind of love? The church of Ephesus did. And God is not rebuking him or condemning him, but he's trying to call him back. Remember thy first love. And repeat the first words. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, your word said we must take the earnest heed. Hebrews 2:1 said we must take the more earnest heed unless we slip away. God's not moving, people. God is not moving. He's unmovable. He's sitting on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. We move. We drift. We wonder. Are you wondering today? Are you drifting? Are you headed for a shipwreck? Are you sinking? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I feel your presence in the church today. I just thank you for being in our midst, for walking through these pews. Father God, you know the hearts and the souls and the minds of every person in here. You know who needs Jesus Christ. You know who, if they were to die today, they would be hell bound. You know that, Lord. You know how old someone needs to be to truly understand the things of God. You know where everyone in here is leaving, when they leave here, where they're heading, Father God. But Father God, you love them. Because your words say you love them. For your words say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Father God, my prayer is that some lost soul today would not perish, would not die and go to hell, would not leave this church unsaved without calling on you. Father, we pray for all those that are here. We pray for all of us that are dealing with things, that have issues. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your mercy. Father, we pray for our visitor and her family, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you would just be with them as they leave this place. And let them not be a stranger to this house. Father God, we pray right now that those that are here that have the spirit and the gift of hospitality would show hospitality today. That we would be a blessing to not only this family that's coming here this Sunday, but every family that enters our doors. We pray for our young people, Father God, as the weather heats up, Father God, as the testosterone starts to increase in their bodies, Father God, that they would come under the control and the power of the Holy Ghost. That their thoughts and their actions would be pure and clean. That they would be a blessing to all that they run into. Father God, again, we pray for this church. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open. And you can come for, or by Christian experience, you can come to be baptized. You can come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need a Savior. You need a Lord.